Like to invite the children to the front, please. Hello, Ian. Hello, I haven't met you before. What's your name?
Ella.
Ella, nice to meet you. I'm Heather. Hello, Grace. Hello, Mackenzie. Hello. What's your names?
Sadie.
Sadie and? Ella. We have another Ella. Lovely. Hello, Heaven. Hello, hello. How wonderful to see all of you today on this day. There we go. Oh, you got to make some room. There we go. So it's a special day today. What's so special about today? What's so special?
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day. So it's Mother's Day. How many of you have mothers? How many of you have mothers? Yeah, I think pretty much all of us have mothers. Do you have a mother? Yeah. So what's so special about this day then? What do we celebrate? Troy, what are you celebrating today? It's a day for Mother's Day, but why do we do that? We don't have a Children's Day, but we have a Mother's Day. Mothers work really hard to take care of their children. It's good of you to recognize that, Nigel. Yes? Pardon me? You need to... Yeah, it's a day that we recognize mothers, but there's all types of mothers in this world. There's all types of... And sometimes the people who mother us aren't necessarily women. Sometimes our mothers can be men or boys. Mother's Day is a day where we say thank you for the people that care for us. There's a great story that we're going to listen to in a little bit where Jesus is with his disciples and he's talking about love and he's talking about loving one another and how God is love. And that's one of the things I think it's really important to remember on this day that we call Mother's Day, that really it's about thanking God for the love that other people show for us and care for us and nurture us and help us grow up to be happy and healthy people. And one of the things that I think we also need to remember is God is also like a mother. Do you know how God is like a mother? Anybody, how's God like a mother? You know why? Because God loves us. And your mother loves you? Mm-hmm. And God can comfort us when we're upset or sad, just like our mother can. It's important to remember just how much God loves us. And that on this day, this special day where we thank all the people in our lives who have mothered us, that we need to remember that God mothers us too. So let us have a prayer before you guys head on out to Sunday school. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for your love. Thank you for caring for us, for nurturing us, for keeping us loved and feeling special. Thank you, God. Amen.
The gospel lesson today is from John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. The second reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 48. The Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on even the Gentiles, for they heard him speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to the God for the word.
Sometimes it's easy to love. The baby that is first placed in our arms, that has been planned for and grown within us for 9 months, and waited with anticipation and wonder to arrive. But what if they cry all the time, or require constant care, or do not turn out the way we had hoped, or they make choices that when they get older that we abhor? Is it easy to love then? Sometimes it's easy to love our partner when things are going well and the relationship is on track and you feel supported and cared for. But what if they betray you or do not love us the way we need to be loved? Or we discover something about them that we don't know if we can accept. Is it easy to love then? Sometimes it's easy to love our neighbor when we know what to expect from them, when it's easy to engage them in a conversation and share tomatoes back and forth over the fence. But what if they live a lifestyle that you do not understand or you find repulsive? What if their rituals confuse you or their culture offends you? Is it easy to love our neighbor then? Sometimes it's easy to love our church when we find comfort and caring within these walls. When we come and are assured that what we think about God and Jesus is good and that our lives are on track and that the church is using their funds well. But what if we don't find that here? What if instead of comfort we find challenge? What if we do not approve of the way the money is used or the direction the church is going or agree with what the minister is saying or do not like the music or the prayers or the program that the church has to offer? Is it easy to love the church then? Easy love is not what we're talking about today. Easy love, the love without challenge, the stuff that makes us feel good and is never hard, no, that's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today is hard love, tough love, real love. The hard part about this kind of love is it doesn't always feel good. This kind of love is the kind of love like the part of the story in The Velveteen Rabbit where the skin horse talks about being real. You see, the skin horse was very old and very wise. And only those playthings that are old and wise and experienced, like the skin horse, understand all about it. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day, when they were lying side by side near the nursery fender, before Nana came to tidy up the room. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and a stick-out handle?" "Real isn't how you're made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child really loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful, "when you're real, you don't mind being hurt." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked, "or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easy or have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all because once you are real, you can't be ugly. Except to people who don't understand." Our readings today all focus on what it means to have real love. Not about the meaning of love, but what it means to love. How love is not just an emotional feeling that one experiences when you look at the one you love, or see something beautiful, or feel good about yourself. Instead, love is a verb, an action. Love is doing something. Love is energetic. It's full of life, and it requires attention and work. Love requires hard work. Love is hard. It is not never having to say you're sorry. It is most definitely about being able to say you're sorry and being able to forgive and being able to learn how to be with another and to let go of prejudice and fear and mistrust, and by sticking with it when the tough gets going, when things get ugly and fractious and challenging. That's the kind of love that Jesus is talking about today. That's the kind of love that the writer of both John and Acts have to talk about today. Both stories help us glimpse what it is to love God with heart and soul and mind and to love our neighbor as ourselves. The love that makes you real. Jesus and his friends are at the Last Supper in the passage that Maureen just read. We are still reading through the part of John where Jesus is in the midst of praying for and saying goodbye to his friends as he prepares his heart, mind, and soul for the next stage of his journey, which is to the cross. These are the thoughts and feelings, the words, according to John, that Jesus shares with his friends and his disciples just before he goes to the garden and subsequently to his arrest, trial, crucifixion, and death. Judas has left the building by this point to go out and play his role in the drama. The rest of the disciples, though, have assured Jesus that they are on board and alongside of him and will be there for him even when things get tough. But as we know, just a few short hours later, most have deserted him. But Jesus is not actually focused on the future at this moment. He is focused instead on the present. And he reminds his friends and his followers just how much he means to them. He reminds them that even after he is gone, even after he is not physically with them any longer, he will still be there, still be loving and caring and comforting. He says to them, "I am your friend. I no longer call you servant." What he is saying really is that I love you. I love you, Peter and James and John and Matthew and Mary. I love you for real. And because I love you and because you love me, you will be able to go from this place, from this very confusing time, and spread the good news. And tell the world about this love, this God's love, and share with your brothers and sisters on this earth more than you ever thought you could. Because I love you. I love you, says Jesus, and you love me, and because of that love, you will be able to do more than you ever dreamed possible and face situations that challenge and confront you because of that love. And be with people whose ways you may not understand, and yet because of my love, you will love them too. I love you, says Jesus. And because of my love, you will become more than you ever could be on your own. I love you, says Jesus. And because I love you, you can become real. That's my daughter that I love making that noise, in case you wanted to know. A few months later, it's after the death and resurrection and the new reality of what it means now to be a disciple of Jesus, what it is to actually live into that love that Jesus was talking about and being out into the world. And here we witness Peter right in the midst of living out that love of Christ. So Peter, right now, we joined the story today, he's at the home of a Roman centurion named Cornelius. It's a pretty risky thing that Peter is doing, hanging out in the home of a Roman who is a centurion who has publicly pledged his allegiance to Caesar, who, you remember, is held up as a god in the culture in Rome 2,000 years ago. And here he is in the midst of this household of this centurion soldier, sharing with the owners and their servants and others just who Jesus was and what Jesus came to say and how this God that Jesus shared with the world was the only God, the God of love. And this love of Jesus, this love of God, this is what Peter is sharing with the people. "I love you," said Peter, "and God loves you, and of course, you can be baptized and feel this love of God running down you like water on your skin. I love you," says Peter, "even though I am a Jew and you are a Roman, and I'm a former fisherman and now a Christian, and you are a soldier and you have grown up with gods called Apollo and Venus and Diana and Jupiter. I love you," says Peter, "in spite of our different backgrounds and cultures and lifestyles. Real love, life-giving love, God love. I love you," says Peter, "to everyone around, and let me show you how much. Let me wash you with the waters of baptism and help bathe you in that love of God. I love you," says Peter. "Love one another as I have loved you," is Jesus' command to the disciples. He's not talking about a feeling. He's not talking about a kind of extended liking. He's not talking about a way of living that involves coming back. What he is talking about is a way of living about coming back again and again and again to the ones that we say that we love. It's about being committed and on board and walking with. It's a way of forgiving time and time and time again. A love that welcomes people as they are, not as we wish them to be. It's a love that delights in people as they are, not as we wish them to be. It's a love that says in big ways and small ways, "You are my beloved, and with you I am well pleased." It's a nurturing kind of love. It's a life-giving love. It's the kind of love that we all long for. Today is Mother's Day, a day fraught with complexities. For some, this day reminds them of the nurturing love they longed for but never received. Others find in this day a painful reminder of losses. Mothers gone, children never born, children dead before their time. I like to think of this day as a day that invites us to remember the nurturing, loving mothering that runs through every life. Mothering we receive sometimes from our mothers, sometimes from our fathers, sometimes from our friends, sometimes from teachers or bosses or neighbors, and sometimes from total strangers. Mothering that is not gendered. Mothering that is simply an expression of the deep, life-giving love that Jesus was sharing with his disciples. Mothering love, the love of Christ and the love that Christ calls us to. Real love. "I love you," says Jesus. "Now go and love one another as I have loved you." Just before I conclude, a couple of days ago, a blog post showed up on Facebook that was written to pastors around Mother's Day, and I thought it was very worthwhile to share. It was written by Amy Young, and she has, in her past life, avoided coming to church on Mother's Day Sunday because it's a day, as a woman, when women are held up who have children, as a woman who had no children, she felt alienated from the congregation. And so she wrote this so that we could acknowledge the wide continuum of mothering. And so I am going to share this litany with you now. "To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experienced loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes and prods and tears and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make it harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment and heartache and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who live through driving tests and medical tests and overall testings of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you longed it to be. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envisioned lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have emptier nests in the upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those who place children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. We remember you. Amen. Let us pray. Gather us in, gracious God. Gather us into this time and into this moment. Open us up to feel your presence in our midst as we come before you in prayer. Creator God, the earth has blossomed forth. The trees are in bloom. The flowers have sprung up and spring is here. And we are grateful for the warmth and the new life that we encounter every time we go outside. Thank you for your continued joy that comes in this springtime moment. Gracious God, for the beauty and wonder and abundance of creation, we are so grateful. And yet we often do not care for this earth as we should. And so we pray, gracious God, for you to give us hearts and hands to help heal this earth, to love this earth as you love this earth, to care for your creation as you would have us care for your creation. Holy God, there are so many human creatures on this planet and so many who are struggling and suffering in this time. And so we hold before you now some of those places in the world that are filled with pain and discomfort, with violence and with war. Holy God, we pray for the Middle East. We pray for the Ukraine. We pray for the parts of the world where war continues, where people live in fear, where there are countless refugees. We pray for all those who are trying to leave situations that are difficult to bear and yet keep running into roadblocks as they try to get to safer countries. Walk with them on these perilous journeys, loving God. Lord, we turn our hearts and minds towards home, and we think of all those whom we know who are struggling in this time. And we pray for your peace and your hope and your love to be with all those who are grieving. We pray especially today for the Ripley family and the Smith family. We hold before you those who have been named and are in our hearts. We pray for Tanya and Elizabeth, for John, Ray and Peter, Claire and Jamie, Jack and Jeff, Ivy, Barbara, Lindsay, Tracy and Rob, and John, and all those whom have not been named. We ask you to bless them, to hold them, to help them in this time, as we ask you to bless us and hold us and help us in this time. We give you thanks today, gracious God, for all those who have been mothers in our lives, all those who have cared and nurtured us as we have grown, and we pray for all those whom we love and care and nurture back. Holy God, help us to love as you love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hearth builder, we present these gifts of our hands and our minds so that they may build the kingdom that Jesus proclaimed. May these gifts be used to restore broken homes, to mend fences between ourselves and others, and to bring peace whenever there is a need. Amen. Thank you.